And now, more tips with your host, Rebecca, on lifestyle improvement.
And remember that in our program, we present our opinion and the opinion of our guest, and it's not to be interpreted as medical advice. Hello again, and welcome to Lifestyle Improvement. Today we have a treat. Today we have Bobby Carducci. Bobby Carducci was intrigued by TV doctors, and she told everyone she was going to be a brain surgeon when she grew up. When she couldn't bring herself to cut up a frog in biology class, she realized she had to find another way to get inside people's heads and became a writer instead. Bobby was an in-home caregiver for her seriously ill father-in-law, Roger, for 7 years, and she has been kind enough to come to our program to share her story. Hello, Bobby. How are you? And thank you for joining us.
Well, hello. I'm doing very well. Thank you. And I'm really honored to be asked to be a part of this and to share part of my story with your listeners.
Well, thank you so much. We are so excited. You know, when I read the information that you had in your blog, I was so intrigued and attracted by the fact that you were so honest about what you wrote there. Because being a caregiver has so many faces, and it does take a lot of courage, Bobby. And you had the courage to share those stages with the people you were writing for. So thank you for doing that.
Oh, you're welcome. And that's a comment that I hear often, not only about the blog, but also about the book that I've written about being a caregiver. And the reason why I decided to do that and to be as honest as I am is because I knew it was going to be hard, but I had no idea how hard it was going to be. His combinations of illnesses were pretty interesting and unique and caused us both a great deal of problems. But mainly because I hear from other caregivers that they feel so alone and they were looking for someone to tell it the way it really is. And it wasn't always easy to do that, but I'm really glad that I did.
Fantastic, Bobby. So, you know, this is a great segue. Why don't you go ahead and start by just telling me a little bit about your story and how you got started in this journey. And just, you know, what are the biggest things that really brought you to this place where you're at right now?
Well, I think I come from a long line of caregivers. It started, I think, with my great-grandmother's sister. When my great-grandmother passed away due to complications of childbirth, and she took the infant in and raised her. Every generation of our family had some type of caregiver in it, starting probably with my great-grandmother's sister, who took in my great-grandmother's infant child when my great-grandmother passed away in childbirth. And we just have this belief in our family that family takes care of family. It's kind of bred into us, but I don't think we're unique in that. My husband Mike and I were looking forward to our empty nest, but also thinking about our aging parents and talked about having maybe one of our mothers come and stay with us as they were both aging. And we didn't expect that it would be either one of our fathers. But within a short period of time, due to illness, both of our mothers had passed away. And it became very clear that Roger needed a place to go. And because we had talked about being caregivers, it was just, we knew it would be, he would be coming with us.
So how long ago did this happen?
He came to us in 2002. I'd always known that he was a little odd, but neither one of us really knew what his major problem was until after he had actually come to live with us and I was able to get his hospital records over a period of time. And then it was rather shocking to find out that he'd actually been diagnosed with schizophrenia back in the 1940s.
How did that impact your caregiving?
My first reaction was, this is going to be more complicated than I thought. So I think I better get some training to educate myself more about some of the health problems that might arise.
So Bobby, after this experience, do you consider yourself an expert caregiver?
Absolutely not. And the reason I can say that is I don't think there is such a thing. Every situation is different and circumstances change from day to day. So I don't think it's possible to be an expert.
I think I have to agree with you. I think it truly is, like you said, a day-to-day learning through mistakes, isn't it? Is a readjustment on a daily basis.
I called it creative problem solving on the run.
I like that. That definitely explains it for me, that's for sure. So with 7 years of caregiving your father-in-law, who had this very complicated, you may say, diagnosis, what kinds of things did you do during this time for yourself in order to cope with what seems to be a very stressful situation?
That's a real hard question to answer because there was very little time to be concerned about what was going on with me. And like many caregivers, I spent a lot more time caring for him and for others than I did for myself, and began to feel the consequences physically. I had panic attacks towards the end. My hair was falling out. I was in desperate need of a good night's sleep. That's one of the issues that's so important for caregivers is respite care, an opportunity to get away from it at least long enough to get some real rest. Sometimes it's difficult to even go to the bathroom, to find the time to go to the bathroom or to go grocery shopping. It's one of the things that makes it so difficult and one of the reasons why caregivers often get sick.
Sleep really is a commodity, isn't it?
Yes, it is, and it's a very important one. Now, he, in addition to the mental illness, he also over time developed Parkinson's disease. And with that, dysphagia, which is severe swallowing problems. So his food had to be pureed and all of his liquids had to be thickened and he had to be monitored when he ate. And he also had some heart problems and what I called stubborn old Italian disease.
So knowing what you know now, would you do it again?
I absolutely would, even knowing how difficult it was, because it was also a gift. This was an amazing man who, before he became ill, as a young man in Italy, held advanced degrees in mathematics and literature. He spoke 7 languages.
Wow.
After his diagnosis of schizophrenia and the time he spent in the mental hospitals and had electric shock treatments, he lost a lot of his memory. But he always had that innate intelligence, which was far greater than mine. I admired him so much. And although we didn't always like each other, we always loved each other. And I felt that the time I had with him was a gift. So I would definitely do it again.
That's beautiful. And often I hear that from most caregivers. They would not change that. They would not change the time that they gave for anything else. It is a mutual gift. It's the gift of giving and the gift of being able to spend a very unique time with another human being.
But I have to be honest here. There were moments when I thought, is it never going to end? Mm-hmm. And I did a lot of praying and a lot of crying during that time.
How did that help?
It helped a lot, and it was interesting, some of the messages that I would get in answer to my prayers. There was a period of time where it was so difficult, and for weeks on end, it seemed I was saying, I need help. Dear God, please send help. Any way you see fit, please send help. And I walked into his hospital room, and standing there was a social worker who said, Mrs. Carducci, do you need help? And I thought, okay, you heard me, God. Yes, I do. And at that time, they arranged for us to have 14 hours of respite care each week so I could go to the grocery store or go to church and pray in order to do it another day.
That's fantastic. There's definitely those moments when you're thankful that you can have someone to ask for help and that help is sent your way, right?
That's right.
That's fantastic. I hear a lot of people say that quiet time is something that has been very instrumental in helping them survive those very difficult times when you are, like you said, lonely and tired, exhausted. Did it work the same for you?
Well, I've always been an avid reader, and it's gotten me through a lot of difficult situations. If I can't get outside of my own head because I'm concerned about something or worried about something, if I can pick up a book and read for a while and kind of escape into that world, I find that very refreshing. So that worked for me. And I think the fact that I'm an introvert by nature and spend a lot of time at home by myself, that was helpful too, because one of the other problems with caregivers is they're very isolated.
They are. And it's difficult to work through that because you're isolated because you have to care for the person right. that you're caring for. And, you know, if you have respite care, that's great. But a lot of people don't have access to respite care. So, or not a lot of respite care. So
it's very expensive.
It is. So it makes it very challenging. So what do you think is the most difficult issue caregivers face today? This is your host, Rebecca. And now we will take a short break and we will be right back with more ideas on lifestyle improvement.
Specialized approach to spinal care is what you will find in the Advanced Spinal Care Clinic in Graham, Washington. Here's Dr. Craig Lipinski explaining why Nuke Care is unlike any other treatment.
Our goal is that we're making a specialized correction to the skull, the atlas, and the neck of each individual that is custom made or custom and specific created to get them healthy and then have them stay that way.
One of only 23 board certified NUCA practitioners in the world, Dr. Craig Lipinski offers you care that can significantly impact your health in positive ways.
This week we've seen somebody in here who's had a 50 point drop in blood pressure by having the skull, atlas, and neck corrected to a proper position.
To find out more about how NUCA Care can change your life, visit www.nuccawashington.com or call 253-445-8181.
I think we've touched on it a bit with the need for respite care, and right along with that is how terribly expensive it is. The medications are expensive, the doctor's visits are expensive, and a lot of times caregivers, as I do, leave their full-time jobs to become caregivers, and that puts a financial strain on the family. One of the best things we can do for caregivers starting as soon as possible is get them some kind of payment for the work that they do. Like I said, we lose our jobs, we lose a portion of our income, it puts a strain on our family, which adds to the stress of being a caregiver. And there are some programs that people are trying to get in place now that will help that. But for now, it's the need for respite and it's the need for some kind of financial compensation, I think, are the biggest issues for caregivers at this time. And it's only going to get worse as the world population is aging. That whole generation of baby boomers, myself included, is moving into that time when, approaching the time when we might need care.
Correct. I agree. Definitely is something that is going to become more and more a reality in this world in general. And, you know, of course, the laws are different in different states of, you know, what is available or not for, you know, caregivers and as far as respite care. So I'm not quite sure how it is in your state, Bobby. Do they have a lot of support for caregivers there? What state are you in?
I'm in Virginia. But I also we had a rather, I won't say unique situation, but a not common situation in that Roger was originally diagnosed with his schizophrenia while he was serving in the United States Army back in 1947. At that time, he was granted a 100% service-related disability, which meant that the VA hospital, the Veterans Administration, picked up his medical care. So his respite care and his doctor's visits and his medications were taken care of. We didn't have to deal with that financial burden. That would not happen now. Someone diagnosed as he was while serving in the military might get a 20 or 30% disability, would not have the same financial advantages that he did. But that certainly helped us as we worked through it. And frankly, I would like to see more of that, not only for people in the military, but for our citizens that need help, our elderly, our handicapped. Caregivers not only are caring for parents and spouses, but they're caring for children. There are teens caring for grandparents, and everybody needs some kind of help.
Absolutely. I totally agree. And like you mentioned, we're here in the state of Washington, and there are different situations that we have to face here because of the state budget, as you would have to in your state because of the budget in your state. But in general, the economy has definitely done has gone through a turnaround, which has affected those services that have been available in the past for needy people.
And more and more we're relying on each other.
Exactly. So tell me, Bobby, what can people do to help caregivers?
The biggest thing that anyone can do for a caregiver is give them the gift of time. If they, stop by and say, I will spend 30 minutes sitting at the hospital bed of your loved one so that you can get a break. Or if they call and say, I've made 2 chicken casseroles. I'm bringing one over to you tonight. Anything that they can do to make things just a little bit easier for the caregiver will be so appreciated. Mm-hmm. One of the things that caregivers frequently do, myself included, is say, if someone asks how things are going, you say you're fine. But you're not fine. So... Mm-hmm. Just a few minutes of sitting down with a friend or a family member and being allowed to vent your frustrations for a little while would be such a big help.
Absolutely. And you have a blog, which seems like that was your way to reach out to other people as well. And I hear that a lot of people actually use this Facebook or, other forms of communication via the internet for support when they're lonely as caregivers at home. Would that be the case, in your opinion?
Oh, absolutely. And I'm seeing it more and more as I'm connecting with other caregivers and other caregiver support groups on Facebook and other social media sites. It's become a big help. Even when someone decides, I can't do this anymore, and we can jump in and say, that's fine. You have to do what's best for you in your situation. If your loved one needs to go into a nursing home, that's the right decision for your family. There's a huge amount of caregiver guilt. Mm-hmm. Almost universally, caregivers feel that they should be more understanding, they should be doing more, that somehow they're failing their loved one, when that is absolutely not the case. And I have to say, I struggled with it. Mm-hmm. My husband, his doctors, our priest, everybody was saying, you're only human. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But at the time, you just feel like, if I could just figure this out, mm-hmm. if I could just do a little bit more, when the fact of the matter is, you're doing the absolute best you can every single day. So if we can alleviate those feelings somewhat by communicating with one another, whether it be on Facebook or on a program like yours, that's a really wonderful thing to do for caregivers.
Oh, fantastic. Thank you. And like in your blog, one of the things that I absolutely loved about your blog, besides all the great information that you write there and the honesty, is you call yourself an imperfect caregiver. And, I really, when I read that, I went, oh, I love it. I mean, to have the courage to come out there and say, I'm doing this, but very imperfectly, because I think we all are going through those feelings. But, some of us may not be as verbal or as able to express it as you are so beautifully doing it in that blog. I think that really what it does is that it gives this ability for other caregivers to feel, like you said, maybe not so much of that guilt when maybe the day doesn't go as, you know, as expected. Unexpected things happen, which happen all the time, correct?
Absolutely. And it took me a while to figure out exactly what to call it. For a while, it was inadequate. And it wasn't until the end that I realized I wasn't inadequate at all, that I had actually had figured it out. But the term just seemed so negative. But when I landed on imperfect, which is absolutely what we all are, and I knew if I was going to write about it, I had to write about it the way it actually was. There was no point in writing something for caregivers that kind of glossed over it. I wanted them to see how imperfect I was, that sometimes I did get angry, I did get frustrated, I did wish I didn't have to do it the next day. Sometimes I went to church and just prayed for enough strength to do it another day. But I did. Mm-hmm. And when he passed away in my arms, I knew that as imperfect as it was exactly what the both of us needed. Mm-hmm. And you don't have to get it right every time in order to do a good job. And that's one of the most important messages I hope comes through in my blog.
The message that I get out of it as well is that if you love, and if you truly are doing a mission of love for someone, if you're loving them, that there will be imperfection. Because
Absolutely.
We're all human.
Exactly.
But it is the act of loving that makes it worthwhile.
Yes. And shortly before he passed away, I think it was the day before he passed away, and he was in in-home hospice at that time, he looked up towards the corner of the room and he said, "Oh, look, I see the mist." And he looked over and he said, "You go first." And I took that to mean he trusted me. He knew he was going someplace he wasn't sure about, and he was going to let me check it out first.
Wow.
And I found that was a gift from him.
That's beautiful.
Of course, I said, I think I'm going to stay here for a while, but if you need to go, it's okay. I'll take care of Michael, and Michael will take care of me. But that's one of my favorite moments with him.
So you gave each other permission.
Yes.
It was okay. It was done.
Yes.
That's beautiful. Thank you for sharing that. I can relate to a moment like that. So that's very special. So tell me, Bobby, what is the worst thing anyone can say to a caregiver?
There are a number of things that come to mind. One is, why don't you just put your loved one in a nursing home? Because there are so many reasons why that might be a bad decision. It could be a medical, it could be financial, it could just be personal. That has to be something that comes from the family itself. And usually there's a very good reason why you decided not to do that. It's a question that we heard a lot. But I knew and my husband knew that that would be the worst place for his father, because he liked to pretend there was nothing wrong with him. Mm-hmm. And he would actually tell the physicians or the nurses, "Go take care of the sick people. I can take care of myself." But mm-hmm. I spent so much time with him, I could tell if he was in pain, even when he was denying it. No one knew him better than we did. So at home was the best place for him. Probably another thing to say is, make sure you get plenty of rest and take care of yourself and eat right, because that's something that we not only hear a lot, we see a lot of advice written for caregivers that say those things. And caregivers know that these are things that they were supposed to do, and they would if they could. If you're going to say something to a caregiver like, make sure you get enough rest, then they want you to tell us, how do we do that?
Oh, really?
Yes. It gets very frustrating if people are offering advice without a solution to the problem.
Right, right. And I think that what the thought that goes through your mind is, well, is easier said than done, right?
Exactly. Exactly.
So tell me something, Bobby. If you could redo it all over again as far as the taking care of yourself while you were doing this, how would you do it different, and what things would you do a little different to make it happen? And don't forget to join us again next week for part two of our interview with Bobby Carducci. Bobby is the author of Confessions of an Imperfect Caregiver by Open Books Press, the true story of the 7 years she spent as an in-home caregiver for her mentally and physically ill father-in-law, Roger. Bobby also writes for her blog, The Imperfect Caregiver, and you can find The Imperfect Caregiver at Amazon.com or wherever books are sold. If you would like to find out more about Bobby, go to her website at www.bobbycarducci.com, BOBBICARDUCCI.com, or you can go to TheImperfectCaregiver.com. And remember that in our program, we present our opinion and the opinion of our guest, and it's not to be interpreted as medical advice. And if you would like to advertise with us, please give us a call at 877-957-7387, extension 101. That again is 877-957-7387, extension 101. Or send us an email to producer at lifestyleimprovement.com. That again is producer at lifestyleimprovement.com.
Thank you for listening to our program today, and tune in again next week for more tips on lifestyle improvement.